Well, thank you, Sister Molly. Boy, that'll be the golden daybreak, all right. SARS will cease. You know, you won't be standing up reading a prayer list. You won't be telling about who's in the hospital and somebody's funeral or something else. Boy, that'll be the time, won't it? Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All we're going to do is read about the Lord's Supper a little bit. I hope you'll pay attention. I hope you'll look at the scripture. It is a serious time with us. We want you to see what God says about it. We'll not spend long right here before we'll actually get into participating in the supper tonight. But picking it up in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read just verse 2 and then move on down and start in verse 19. Verse 2 says, "Now I praise ye, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you." Notice the word ordinance has got an S on it, it's plural. There's only two ordinances that the church is supposed to or is commanded in the scripture to keep. And of course, that is the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And some try to add other things to it, but it is plain enough. Now, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth because he's having to rebuke them about doing some things wrong. It is a sad thing today that some churches base major doctrine on stuff Paul was trying to correct at the church at Corinth, because they don't understand and don't rightly divide it. But in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, verse 19, "For there must be also heresies among you," that's false doctrines, "that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not," I emphasize the word not, "this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." I'm going to talk through these verses a little as I go. Some folks think every time the church assembles, it's supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper. The verse I just read said that's not right. It plainly says here, "When you come together, therefore, into one place," that's the assembly, "this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken." Here's what they were doing. They were, as it were, what you and I would call bringing their own lunch and showing off that I got more than you have. What a heresy. But that's apparently what was happening, as we notice here. And Paul rebukes them for that. He says, "In eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in?" We didn't come and take the Lord's Supper to satisfy physical appetites, not to satisfy hunger or thirst. It goes on to tell us more about it. And it says, "Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not," showing off that you might have a bigger lunch than the next guy, so to speak. "What shall I say to you?" Question. "Shall I praise you in this?" Question. "I praise you not." So he's rebuking them. He says, "For I have received," now he tells them the right way and where he got it from. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." We'll read about that in a little bit. Same night he was betrayed, he took bread. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now here's another heresy that some big religion teaches. That is that after the priest says a few magic words over the bread, that it suddenly becomes the flesh of Jesus. That's not true. We'll find out it's symbolic, it's a memorial. For instance, the Lord is handing them the bread in a fleshly hand. It's not his flesh. They don't take a bite of his hand. I'm not trying to be irreverent. I'm trying to get you to see a truth that's a falsehood that is taught by those that say that the cracker or the bread is actually the flesh. No, it's not. And never, you'd have to really stretch it to get that out of this. The Lord is sitting there in his own body at the time he does this. "When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body." But it was his body handing the bread, "which is broken for you." Symbolic picture. What's going to happen? "This do in what? Remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, that's not his real blood. His real blood is still in his body. He hasn't been to the cross yet. So the juice is symbolic of the blood. And the scripture is plain on that. You got to really try to do something funny to make it anything else. And I've had people approach me. Well, when they pray over it, it changes from juice to blood. No, it don't. And if you had a scientific lab right there and you tested it, it would still be the same juice it was before somebody said any, many, mighty, mo over it. All right. You know, some of you don't know that. That's Greek. Not really. Got me off on that. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, we are doing two things tonight. We're looking back on the fact he died for us. We're looking forward to the fact he's coming for us. So we show forth his death until he comes. And that's very plain in the scripture here. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, folks, you don't earn your way by works, but you stay right with God by your works, in the sense that if you partake of the Lord's Supper while you're living in unconfessed sin, you're on dangerous ground. We'll read the next few verses. Unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, look how good the Lord is. But let a man examine himself. I don't examine you. You don't examine me. We examine ourselves. What's my heart right with God? Am I doing the best I can to serve him, or am I out here faking it? Living in adultery or doing something else that's awful? Then God knows about that, and it's dangerous ground for you to take the Lord's Supper in that condition. You read in 1 Corinthians 5, where the Lord Paul turned a fellow over to Satan over fornication, sexual sin. So that's a dangerous thing to consider here, eating and drinking unworthily. Now it says in verse 30, some of them had already experienced God's judgment on this. Verse 30, for this cause, what cause? Eating and drinking unworthily, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, the word sleep is the word for death for believers. Would God kill a believer over sin? Oh, yes. On occasion, he has. How about Ananias and Sapphira? Ever read about them? And many others. Some of us could tell you some stories. It's not good to be presumptuous with God. As too many folks are, especially the day and time that we live in. So he says, some are sick, some are dead, some sleep. Then he gives us something really good here, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God is so good, he lets me be my own judge and my own jury. But I need to always be aware he knows all about it and that he's watching it all. And so it says, we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God said, I'll let you judge yourself. I'm going to use something just a little bit in your memory. Did your dad or mama, mostly generally dads do this, bring you up when you were a kid and you'd done something wrong and you had to confront dad? Did he ever give you a chance to confess, to admit it? Was it best to admit it or lie about it? Huh? Most of us remember trying it both ways, don't we? And we know which is the best way. And the best way with God, because see, my dad, he's a smart man. I don't think I ever fooled him. But it was possible somebody could, because he was just a man. But you can't fool God. You can't fool God. And I learned a long time ago, best be honest with dad. I've learned a long time ago, best be honest with God. Yes, sir. And so that's what he's saying here. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. God does whip his children. That's what the word chastens involved here. That we should not be condemned with the world. So wherefore, now what he's already told us aforetime here, wherefore, looking back on, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. That's why when we partake of the bread and the juice, we wait and kind of do it together. Tonight we'll be trusting Hector a little bit to kind of cue me. Most of you noticed that Sister Gotch is missing tonight. A lot of our folks are missing tonight, and she normally plays the organ. And she kind of, you may not know this, I'm letting you in on a secret. I listen to what she's playing on the organ, and when she stops, it's time for me to do the next thing. Hector, you got a lot of responsibility tonight. I'm joking at him. He's going to play the piano and we'll get by fine. But we tarry one for another. That's what we're talking about here. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And that's Paul talking. He's going to visit the church when he comes, and he'll explain further to them. But what he's doing right here is telling them how to do it right. And we don't have to do it every time we come together. It ought to be special. And that's why we do make it special in our church. I don't think if we done it every Sunday, it would be all that special. It'd get like a lot of things. It'd get more used to it. And I don't want to do that. I want us to understand it's special. I want us to search our hearts tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And whatever sin you see there, confess it, admit it, and plan and try to forsake it. And then think on what it really represents. It represents the great price that Jesus paid for us when he shed his blood on the cross. And then as Molly was singing, Sister Molly was singing a while ago, it also represents that glorious daybreak when the Lord Jesus is going to return. So as often as we do it, it shows his death till he comes. And he is coming. Amen. Amen. I believe it. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, may you bless now as we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask the men to assemble. Some of our deacons are out of town, so staff is going to step up and take their place tonight. And we appreciate the men doing that. Appreciate Brother Grafton getting everything ready, and we'll get ready here. Brother Bill, would you get this microphone and bring me a lot of cord around and stand it right here where I can be able to get to it.